Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
Fionnuala's on the line, Marion's on the line. Fionnuala, Phil Days. Endometriosis, as I say, inundated with women primarily, because it does affect women only, but as someone pointed out yesterday, like the menopause, everyone's affected by it. And women make up 50% plus of the population. Fionnuala, good afternoon. What's your experience in this area, Fionnuala?
Hi, Joe. Thanks very much for dealing with this dreadful, painful topic.
Yeah.
From the age of about 11, I missed at least one or two days at school on a monthly basis with a hot water bottle on my tummy.
Okay.
At 13, the doctor told me that I'd be all right when I'd have a baby. At 17, I went in for my first ovarian cyst and had some surgery, and they didn't even diagnose it at that stage. Mm. And all through my 20s, I was in agony. God. And that is just an understatement. And I was finally diagnosed at 31 years of age, and I had a hysterectomy at 34. And as did two of my sisters, two of my three sisters. We all had hysterectomies at 34, all from endometriosis, not diagnosed until, you know, we were past our best years of our life, basically. It's not just the period pain that is hard. It's the ovulation pain, the constipation, the constant urinary tract infections, anemia, having to bring a black plastic bag with you in case you're going to sit in the car and going to be destroyed.
Yeah.
Pulling clots from inside.
Yeah.
And like doctors would tell you, women only lose a teaspoonful of blood during a period.
Yeah.
Well, it can tell you that much. I lost more than a teaspoonful of blood.
Yeah.
Because it's the endometrium that's coming out, and it's, you know, it's just literally blocking everything. And not just that, the endometrium then is outside the uterus.
Yeah.
And you're just...
It's trapped in the places where it's in the uterus. It's evacuated, obviously, through...
Exactly.
Yeah, every month. But if it gets outside the uterus...
It clings on to all of your other organs.
Yeah.
And then even after the... hysterectomy was done, I wasn't cleaned out as such. The endometrium was still there.
Mm-hmm.
And 28 days, you're still having phantom period pains.
Yeah.
And then after your wonderful episodes, many episodes on the menopause, I found somebody that actually listened to me for the menopause.
Mm-hmm.
And she said to me that I could still have endometrium. I'm 57 now, having had the hysterectomy at 34, I could still have endometrium, which is still reactivated by the female hormones in your HRT.
Yeah.
So it just, it's never ending.
One of our callers yesterday kept a diary.
Yes.
And she said 1 week, she only had 1 week out of every month that was pain-free.
That's the same as myself. And I never had a regular cycle, so I could never know when I was going to be hit. So I could have like 5 days of a heavy period or seven. Then you'd have maybe five reasonable days. Then you'd be ovulating, and then you're preparing for the next period when you have the cramps. And it just...
Did a hysterectomy make a difference for you or any of your sisters?
Well, my sisters were quite good because they were left with their ovaries. But my ovaries and tubes and everything were taken, so I was thrown straight into the menopause. And that in itself was just a nightmare because I didn't get somebody to actually regulate my hormones until your fantastic shows 2 years ago.
Yeah.
And so, like, I had menopause for 21 years. Before I actually got HRT to agree with me. So since I was 11 years of age, I got my first period at 9, and it started at 11, and I'm 57 now.
Good
So it's just never-ending endometriosis. And it's a silent thing that no GP will listen to you. No, I won't say no GP. Yeah. They don't understand. And
well, what was the phrase that Amy used yesterday when the five or six women were talking among themselves here in Liveline? Amy said, and they're all echoing the same stories of not being believed. And one woman was told, you're wearing your depression on the outside. In other words, the pain is all a product of your depression.
Then
Amy said, we were regarded as unreliable witnesses to our own suffering.
Because, as I say, they don't understand. They don't have the time to listen. And especially now, even for the younger people, so you just get in for a few minutes, and if you don't get dealt with in the 10 minutes, well, I'm sorry, your time is up.
Yeah.
And,
I cannot even glimpse the mental toll that this would take.
You're told it's the tension in your body that's causing the cramps. And then when you're going to the loo very often, when you're at work, they're saying, why are you going to the loo so often?
Yeah.
And you're predominantly working with males. And, why are you going to the loo so often?
Yeah.
And you're just mortified. Like, do you really want me to turn around and tell you? And they actually, one of them actually must have kept a diary himself and realised this is cyclical.
What do you mean, must have kept a diary himself?
Must have kept a diary himself and realised...
Of your behaviour?
Yes, of my behaviour going to the bathroom.
What was the point of him keeping a diary of yours?
Well, he said to me one time, it must be the time of the month.
Oh, God.
Now, that's a long time ago. It wouldn't happen now, and I wouldn't take it now, but I did then.
No one would take it now, I hope.
No.
Okay, that's bullying. That's bullying.
It's degrading, is what it is, really.
Yeah.
Like, there's nothing private.
Okay, stay with us, Fionnuala. Women in the same situation. Every story is different, but it's the same. Once again, it's an issue that affects only women in Ireland. Gabriel Scaddy said it 5 or 6 years ago. How come all these scandals, cervical... we did a whole month, I think, on the treatment of women in maternity hospitals, and then we did the menopause, and now we're doing endometriosis, and common denominator, women.
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
Joe Duffy!
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
Marion, good afternoon. You say your 15-year-old daughter lost a year and a half of her life because of endometriosis.
Hi, Joe. Yeah, she did. And she was actually 13 when it started off in February 2021. It just kind of randomly hit her. Just one night she woke up and had this pain, and they thought it was her appendix.
Yeah.
Several different visits to the A&E, and they were saying maybe irritable bowel or... all the other ones, inflammatory bowel disease, and we had several tests for all that. She had very invasive tests, MRIs, CT scans, you name it, she had it. So then they kind of just got sick looking at us, to be honest, and every time we kind of came into the hospital, they were kind of nearly rolling their eyes, going, oh, here you are again, sure, we told you that you were, they actually prescribed her with mesenteric adenitis that time, which is swollen lymph nodes. And so they told her to just kind of get on with it, or it'll fade in time. So she was getting worse, and these doctors were just, when we would go back in with her crippled in pain, they were just looking at us going, sure, didn't we tell you, it was going to get better. But it didn't, it actually continued to get worse. And only for our own GP, he happened to mention, this sounds really like endometriosis. He was the one that said it to us. And I kind of thought, it can't be, because they really had me convinced that it was a stomach, something to do with her stomach. Yeah, she had been on all these different diets and all the rest, taking out gluten and all this crack. And none of it made a blind bit of difference. She just continued to get worse and worse. She had abdominal pain, but she had pains going down her legs. Her back felt like it was breaking in half, was the way she described it. Pain into her shoulder. Obviously, heavy periods, irregular bowel movements, She wasn't fit to sit or stand for any length of time the end up. Yeah, like I'm talking in the fetal position in her bed. To get up and have a meal with us, she just couldn't do it in the end up. Like, she just couldn't sit long enough at the dinner table. Orla mentioned... Yeah. Sorry?
No, go ahead. Sorry.
Orla mentioned yesterday about, you know, that we would need extra sort of education in the school. And do you know what? It's the one thing I've said the whole way through this is mothers sit down and explain to their daughters about periods and, you know, you'll get them at whatever age and all the rest. But nobody ever sits and explains what it should look like. Yeah. I didn't think to tell Zoe what a normal period should look like.
Yeah.
And she didn't know that what she was experiencing wasn't normal. It wasn't until we started going into the hospitals and they would say, right, so, you know, what does it look like? And she was explaining that she was having these heavy bleeding and clots and that she was, you know, like this here. And I was like, really? I didn't know because I didn't think to ask her, and she didn't know it was wrong to tell me. So I seriously think that the education in the schools need to be upped for these girls, that they know what a normal period should look like, and when it's not normal, that they need to start at that stage saying, right, there's something not right here.
And was your daughter offered any treatment?
Well, the GP tried everything because, as I said, we travelled the length and breadth of this country and every door was slammed in our face.
Yeah.
They just kept saying, oh, for God's sake, you know, she's only 13 coming on 14. There's no way she can have this yet. You don't have it. Sure, it's hereditary. So if your mammy doesn't have it, then you can't have it. And we seen one guy and he actually laughed us out of his office, and we travelled the whole way to Belfast to see him and paid a fortune to see him. And with every one of those doors closing in our face, Zoe just lost the will to live. Like, she was coming out and crying the whole way home from Belfast, Derry, wherever we were, you know, Dublin. She was just so exhausted trying to defend herself and said, "This, I'm not imagining this.
This is real. This is real.
I am
a reliable witness to my own suffering."
That was the best statement I ever heard mentioned when Amy said that yesterday. But like Zoe was trying to say all these things, and you had these patronising doctors going, ach, maybe it's anxiety, or are you getting bullied at school, Peg? Is there anybody annoying you at school? And she would get so frustrated. I can go, no, like, there's nobody annoying me. This is physical pain.
Yeah.
And they would try and say, oh, well, you know, mental pain can manifest itself as physical pain. And they put her on the pill to try and see if that would sort of alleviate it a wee bit. Like, this is a wee 13-year-old girl sitting on a pill. You know, I wasn't happy with it at all, but like that, give me whatever's going to take this pain away. They had her on Panadol and Nurofen. She was taking it every 4 hours. She was waiting for the next time where she could just take it again. Like, that went on then to going to Ponston, diaphene suppositories, back rubs. She was taking heat packs that much to try and get to go to school, that she had burns on her stomach, on her back. She in the end up, now, thanks be to God, we had the best school. They were facilitating her in any way. And the end up, she had to just give up school. She just couldn't go at all. I would say in her first 2 years at school, she was probably maybe 4 months at school and nowhere near consecutive. That was just all broken up throughout those 2 years. So they allowed her to kind of do homeschooling, and they gave us a lot of support, you know, so she was lucky with that.
Now, I know, but you say when she was 14, you went for this option, this Romanian surgical operation.
Yeah.
How did that work out?
That was the best move that we ever made. I like that, when we had every door closed, I kind of thought, where am I going from here? What can I do to help my child? The girls mentioned yesterday the Nancy Nook Facebook page, which is fantastic. And I went on there, but it's American based, so all the recommendations are all in the States. So I just one day just put up, please, is there any Irish girls on here can help me where to go in my country to help my child? And that was when Orla O'Connor, who was with you yesterday, rang me, and she was like, Marion, please, you know, go to Romania. I just can't see a child going through this again in our country. So from we reached out to Dr. Mitroy, and within weeks we had a surgery date for the early January.
And it has made a difference, that's your point.
It has made a huge difference. Not instantaneously, the girls now.
Yeah, and everyone has to make their own decision. Say with us, Marion, Sinead McCarthy. Okay. Sinead, how long were you waiting on a diagnosis?
Hi, Joe. I was about 19 years before I actually got diagnosed with endometriosis. So I was about 16 when I started getting the same type of thing, like really crippling pain. You know, I wouldn't be able to get out of bed. I would be vomiting, you know, wouldn't be able to stand up straight. I went to, you know, GPs explaining the situation, but I was always just told that some girls just get worse period pain than others, and, you know, maybe I just suffering from bad period pain, so I was always just given painkillers. So I kind of gave up on going to doctors kind of in my early 20s, I suppose, and just suffered on. I had to just take loads of painkillers every month. It, you know, there would be usually a few days around my period where I would be in severe pain, and there might be one or two days in the middle of that then when I wouldn't be able to function. Like, I wouldn't be able to get out of bed. I would be vomiting. You know, I remember I was living with a friend of mine, and she came home one day, and I was literally lying on the bathroom floor, and it was grey, and I was just vomiting. And she was like, you know, I'm calling an ambulance. And I was like, no, no, it's okay. It's just my period. This is just how, you know, this is the pain I get every month. And she was like, that's not normal. Like, that's not what should be happening. So in the middle of my 30s, I was living in Dubai. And I went to see a gynecologist in Dubai just because my periods are irregular. It was, you know, nothing specific. I just went to kind of get checked out. And she did an ultrasound there and then that day. And she was like, yeah, there's something there. We're going to, you know, she referred me on to a consultant, obstetrician and gynecologist. When I saw him, I was booked in then for laparoscopic surgery. I think it was like 2 weeks later. I actually had the surgery, and he found endometrioma, which is like a large chocolate cyst. He actually showed me a video after the surgery and everything of you know, the cyst inside. And I had like stage 3-4 endometriosis. He said the scarring was really bad, and my organs were stuck together inside and everything. So he said like that it was...
And that was the cause. It's not a heavy period, as you were told. It's,
no.
My God. Stay with us, Sinead. Joe at RT.ie.
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815. Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
Sandra Culligan. Sandra, how long were you suffering for?
Hi, Joe. Yeah. I'm suffering from a very young age.
Most of
my life, really.
And how long did it take before you were diagnosed with endo?
Over 20 years, only this year.
And what about treatment?
So when I turned 19, they told me I had polycystic ovarian syndrome, and told me it would be very unlikely that I would have children. So I had one child, and then spent about 10 years with National Maternity Hospital trying to have another child. And they just refused to do a laparoscopy all that time to find out what the problem was.
And where are we now in terms of treatment?
So I had a laparoscopy in April. And like many of your other callers, organs were stuck. My bladder and my stomach were stuck to my spine. So my entire abdominal cavity is covered in endometrium, and they can't remove it. They told me that they don't do that type of surgery in this country. So it's this injection they're going to give me every 3 months. Which essentially brings on the menopause.
And does the pain that you're going through resonate with what our other callers have been telling us?
It's debilitating. You could get up in the middle of the night and you're having a massive flare up, and that's it. Then you're not going to be able to do anything.
I just want to go. There's so many people. Francis, and I feel awful now not having the time. Francis Morley.
Yes, hello, Joe. How are you?
What's your story, please, Francis?
My story is that I have endometriosis and was diagnosed when I was in my late 20s. Yeah. I wasn't able to conceive and it was diagnosed then. I suppose like everyone else, I had periods at an early age, at the age of 9, and just took it that the heavy periods were the norm, didn't know any different. Yeah. I went on then to have a baby in my first daughter in 1994. Okay. And everything was grand. And then 9 months after I had her, it all kicked off again. Went to laparoscopies, all back to that again. And it went on, said I wouldn't probably have another child, but luckily I did 5 years later. And 2 years after I had her then, I had a hysterectomy. It did a subtotal hysterectomy, which meant they left your cervical stump because you were of a young age.
Yeah.
And
how are you now, Frances? Sorry for rushing. How are you now?
Oh, I'm in pain and agony now, but I ended up actually, Joe, I just want to say, because I ended up having to go back then because they left the cervical stump, the endometriosis spread, and like everyone else, but I lost a kidney and I lost part of each of my lungs. And this is back in 2005. So then I was catapulted into the menopause as well. And that seems to have been really ongoing since then, like, you know. Mm-hmm. But I'm now in my mid to late 50s and would have an awful lot of pain. And at the in the last few weeks in particular, very much so in the vaginal, in the back passage, you know, pressure, pain, uncomfortable, can't sit, can't stand, can't, you know, if I could stand on my head, I would. It's very debilitating and very hard to get anywhere with doctors. They seem to be very blasé now. I would have felt back in the beginning, I suppose, when I was initially diagnosed, it was back in the early 90s, I would have felt that I had a better ear back then, for the want of a better way, wasn't it?
Okay.
And they were far more understanding. Maybe I was just looking who I met.
It's a recurring...
When I was back and had my last surgery in 2005, I remember there was a professor had come to James's, where the doctor I was under, where I had my surgery. And at the time he had said, had I been given a cancer diagnosis, I would have had a better prognosis
for quality of life later on. I've got to leave it at that, Frances. Back tomorrow with more reliable witnesses to their own suffering. Today's producer was Sian O'Gorman, and Brenda Donoghue is next.
0818 715 815 stays open until 3:15 p.m. or email joe@rte.ie.